Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 27 May, 2025, Zachariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Yesterday was Memorial Day, and ever since I came here in 1977, I have made it my objective, whenever we had a Memorial Day or 4th of July, that I would honor those who won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I've been doing that since 1977. And I know when I probably will go home to be with the Lord is when I do the last one, this book. So in understanding the principle that freedom comes through military victory. And these are great, great visible heroes. And these events took place so long ago, most people have not even thought about these things. At the time, this was very, very huge and big. But I want to always remember these men. First person we're going to recognize this evening is Daniel Judson Callahan, Rear Admiral, United States Navy. His citation reads, "For extraordinary heroism and conspicuous intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty during action against enemy Japanese forces off Savo Island on the night of 12-13 November 1942. Although outbalanced in strength and numbers by a desperate and determined enemy, Rear Admiral Callahan, with ingenious tactical skill and superb coordination of the units under his command, led his forces into battle against tremendous odds, thereby contributing decisively to the rout of a powerful invasion fleet and to the consequent frustration of a formidable Japanese offensive. While faithfully directing close-range operations in the face of furious bombardment by superior enemy firepower, Rear Admiral Callahan was killed on the bridge of his flagship. His courageous initiative, inspiring leadership, and judicious foresight in a crisis of grave responsibility were in keeping with the finest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. He gallantly gave his life and the defense of his country. I would also like to recognize this evening William Robert Caddy, Private First Class, United States Marine Corps Reserve. His citation reads, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, while serving as a rifleman with Company I, 3rd Battalion, 26th Marines, 5th Marine Division, in action against enemy Japanese forces during the seizure of Iwo Jima in the Volcano Islands, 3 March, 1945. Consistently aggressive, Private First Class Caddy boldly defied shattering Japanese machine gun and small arms fire to move forward with his platoon leader and another Marine during the determined advance of his company through an isolated sector, and gaining the comparative safety of a shell hole, took temporary cover with his comrades. Immediately pinned down by deadly sniper fire from a well-concealed position, he made several unsuccessful attempts to again move forward, and then, joined by his platoon leader, engaged the enemy in a fierce exchange of hand grenades until a Japanese grenade fell beyond reach in the shell hole. Fearlessly disregarding all personal danger, Private First Class Caddy instantly dived on the deadly missile, absorbing the exploding charge in his own body and protecting the others from serious injury. Stout-hearted and indomitable, he hesitatingly yielded his own life that his fellow Marines might carry on the relentless battle against a fanatic enemy. His dauntless courage and valiant spirit of self-sacrifice in the face of certain death reflect the highest credit upon Private First Class Caddy and upon the U.S. Naval Service. He gallantly gave his life for his country." And I would also like to recognize John E. Butts, Second Lieutenant, United States Army, Company E, 60th Infantry, the 9th Infantry Division. His citation reads, "Heroically led his platoon against the enemy in Normandy, France, on 14, 16, and 23 June 1944. Although painfully wounded on the 14th near Orglandes and again on the 16th while spearheading an attack to establish a bridgehead across the Douve River, he refused medical aid and remained with his platoon. A week later, near Floatmanville Hog, He led an assault on a tactically important and stubbornly defended hill, studded with tanks, anti-tank guns, pillboxes, and machine guns emplacements, and protected by concentrated artillery and mortar fire. As the attack was launched, Second Lieutenant Butts, at the head of his platoon, was critically wounded by German machine gun fire. Although weakened by his injuries, he rallied his men and directed one squad to make a flanking movement, while he, all alone, made a frontal assault to draw the hostile fire upon himself. Once more, he was struck, but by grim determination and sheer courage, continued to crawl forward. When within 10 yards of his objective, he was killed by direct fire. By his superb courage, unflinching valor, and inspiring actions, Second Lieutenant Butts enabled his platoon to take a formidable strong point and contributed greatly to the success of his battalion's mission. All of these three men were posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I will always continue, as long as I'm pastor here, recognizing these men that have won the highest award that our government can give. And by the way, I was informed about a true story. A true story about in the Vietnam War of an airman who eventually received the Congressional Medal of Honor. Deb and I saw it yesterday on Memorial Day. It's absolutely one of the greatest true stories I have ever seen. And we're going to show it. Probably show it around the 4th of July. Absolutely phenomenal. And I'd never seen this. And I'm not a crybaby. At the end of this movie, Deb and I just sat there and cried for quite some time. It's absolutely phenomenal. But we'll show that, and so I'll give you a heads up ahead of time. You don't want to miss that one. All right. Well, Zechariah, what he was the man, the prophet, at this time in history when a Jewish remnant came back to Jerusalem. There were two prophets that were absolutely phenomenal. Zechariah and Haggai. Well, some of you call it Haggai. I don't know. Haggai, anyway. And those two prophets, they taught the grace and truth of the Word of God again and again and again. And they were tough. Zechariah was only about 28 years old. Very young prophet. And they were both tough. And Haggai, he was tough. And the beginning of this book, Zechariah, in one night, the prophet Zechariah received eight visions. Now, it's going to take us to chapter 6, verse 15, to get through these eight visions. He got them in one night. And we're going to see, you'll see something that looks like he fell asleep. It's mental fatigue. He just flat worn out. There's so much here. And he got this all in one night. And then he's going to communicate this. So in the beginning of Zechariah 1:7 to 6:15, eight visions. We studied the first two visions in chapter 1, the vision of the red horse rider, which is a theophany of the Lord Jesus Christ. The vision number 2, the four horns and four horn cutters. Now we're in chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we have the third vision, vision number 3. Which is the vision of the surveyor. And the surveyor, once again, is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. Zechariah 2, 1 through 3. Then I raised up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man. Well, the man is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. And in his hand there was a measuring line, a surveyor's line. So I asked, "Where are you going?" And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered me, Zechariah, to measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide it is and how long it is. And behold, the angel who was speaking with me, the teaching angel who was teaching Zechariah, went out, and another angel was coming out to meet him. While Zechariah was receiving the surveyor's answer, the Lord Jesus Christ's answer in verse 2, the teaching angel, and at this time, this was one of the ways that God used to communicate the absolute truth of his word, and that was through teaching angels. Doesn't use that today, but he used it then. Who spoke with the prophet. And he left to meet another angel who had a revelation from God. In Zechariah 2, 3 through 5, Zechariah reported what happened. The teaching angel tells the latter angel to give God's revelation to the young man. And the young man is Zechariah in verse 4. He is to run because of its urgency. And the thrilling news of Jerusalem's reconstruction and the reconstruction of the temple. This news would fill both Zechariah and the remnant of Jews who have come back to Jerusalem with great happiness. Because it was coming when the Israelites were struggling to rebuild the temple. We're going to see when we get to Zechariah chapter 4, there is a great mountain of opposition. A great mountain of opposition. And it's a person. And who is the great mountain of opposition in to have the temple rebuilt and Jerusalem rebuilt? It's Satan himself. Satan is doing everything in his power to defeat them and prevent them from rebuilding the temple and prevent them from rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. Now, Satan is the current ruler of planet Earth. We're just in chapter 2. When we get to chapter 3, Satan makes a personal attack on the high priest, Joshua. The high priest at this time is Joshua. And Joshua has, well, Satan comes before Jesus Christ and says, this guy is totally unqualified to be a high priest. Unqualified. Even if you have a temple, he is not qualified to be the high priest. He's covered with excrement. Covered with excrement. And then Satan brought out all of, Joshua the high priest has spent a lot of time in carnality and reversionism. That's absolutely true. And Satan attacked him before Jesus Christ and said, he's unqualified. You have no high priest. You have no spiritual worship of the Shekinah glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's chapter 3. He attacks the religious leader. There are two leaders. The religious leader, Joshua the high priest, and the political leader, Zerubbabel. And Satan attacked both of them. There's a great mountain of opposition to prevent the Jews from rebuilding the temple and rebuilding Jerusalem. And the attack is on the religious leader, Joshua the high priest, that's chapter 3. And on Zerubbabel, the political leader, that's chapter 4. And that great mountain of opposition will only be defeated by God himself. And that's chapter 4, verse 7. I'll give you a preview of coming attraction. Excuse me, Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, God the Holy Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, Jesus Christ. Wow. That's coming up in chapter 4. I'm having a ball. I'm in chapter 4. It's hard for me to stay with in chapter 2. We'll get there. But I got to give you previews of coming attractions here. So the teaching angel tells the latter angel to give God's revelation to the young man Zechariah in chapter 2, verse 4. And he's to run because of its urgency and the thrilling news of Jerusalem's reconstruction and the reconstruction of the temple. This news would fill both Zechariah and the remnant of Jews that have come back to Jerusalem with great happiness, because it was coming when the Israelites were struggling to rebuild the temple and the city. Now God gave Zechariah 4 promises in this third vision. We have exegeted the first 2. In verse 4, there's the promise of great prosperity. In verse 5, there is the promise of protection, the wall of fire. That's as far as we've gone. But there's 2 more promises. Promise number 3 is a promise to bring back Jews that are still in Babylon. Most of the Jewish people are still living in Babylon. They're in carnality. They're in reversionism. They have absolutely no worship of the living and true God going on. But God is going to give an order. And that's coming up in verses 6 and 7. He's going to give an order, a mandate. Hoy, hoy! Now it looks in King James, ho, ho, sounds like Santa Claus is coming. but that's not what it is in the Hebrews. Hoi, hoi. Attention! Pay attention! Get up! Get going! Get your patootie out of Babylon and get down here to Jerusalem now. You have had nothing in far as spiritual priorities go for so long. You get out and get down here now. And so there's a huge influx of Jewish people moving from Babylon down into Jerusalem. So that's coming up in verses 6 and 7. And then we have the fourth promise, and that fourth promise is judgment, punishment and judgment on Israel's enemies, and that's verses 8 and 9. Okay. So we've exegeted verses 4 and 5, and it sounds like this. In verse 4, promise number 1. And he said to him, run, speak to that young man, Zechariah, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited as towns without walls because of the great multitude of men and livestock in the midst of it. Great prosperity. The first promise, there's going to be great prosperity. And then verse 5, for I myself declares the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be a wall of fire around her, around Jerusalem. Great protection. That's promise number 2. And I will be the glory, the Shekinah glory, in her midst. The temple will be rebuilt, and the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, will dwell in the Holy of Holies. And even though Joshua the high priest is totally attacked, Satan goes right before Jesus Christ and attacks the high priest Joshua and says, he's totally unqualified. You have no, should be no temple at all because your high priest is a reversionist. Well, he had a lot of, when you say that you're covered with poop, poop's a four-letter word, but it usually passes. Now, if I say shit, then you lose the dignity of the clergy. So, don't want to do that. So, first of all, this passage is applying to Zechariah's generation, and he's saying you need to put spiritual things first. You need to put the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, first. You need to rebuild the temple. While you are rebuilding the temple, I, the surveyor, the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany, I will protect you. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be a wall of fire around Jerusalem, and I will take care of you. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was a wall of fire around Jerusalem in Zechariah's generation, so the Lord will be a wall of fire around you if you put the Lord Jesus Christ first. The winner believer puts spiritual things first, and the Lord Jesus Christ puts a wall of fire around that believer. The second fulfillment of this passage will be at the second advent of Christ with the deliverance of the remnant of believers delivered from the tribulation and taken into the millennial kingdom. Now, I have taught this many, many, many times. But I got a letter from a fellow, he's not here, he's in another part of the country. And he said things in that letter that if I taught these things, I was in a coma. And I found out things that he said that I taught and he couldn't understand. You know, if all there's going to be a large group of unbelievers that will go into the millennial kingdom. There'll be no believers go into the millennium. None. You all come back and tell me if I ever taught you that there will be a lot of unbelievers go into the millennial kingdom. No believers will go into the millennial kingdom. It's believers only. Now, those who are rescued are in physical bodies. Physical bodies. They're going to have children. And the children are born spiritually dead. They're born spiritually dead. Now, it's the millennial kingdom. Perfect environment. Perfect environment. Perfect prosperity. Perfect peace. And the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling on planet Earth. But when these children are born, they're born physically alive but spiritually dead. And that means they must believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. But when the millennium starts, it's just believers. Now, there will be believers in resurrection bodies. We'll be there in our resurrection bodies. But there will be those believers rescued to go in. And they have physical bodies and they will have children. And it's 1,000 years. And in 1,000 years, there's going to be a bazillion kids. Everyone born is born spiritually dead. And you see, environment has nothing to do with. There's perfect environment. The King of all kings and Lord of all lords is ruling the world from Jerusalem. Perfect prosperity, perfect righteousness and justice, perfect peace. And these children are born, but they're born spiritually dead. And they must place their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. There will be some who will, but there will be multitude that will not. Multitude that will not. And at the end of that 1,000 years, when Satan's released from prison, he will gather up all of those unbelievers over that 1,000 years that were born spiritually dead and did not believe in Christ. He will gather them up and attack Jerusalem. It won't last very long, that battle. It'll be over pretty quick. But I believe I've taught this and taught this and taught this and taught this and taught this. But sometimes I get a letter like this and I go, I must be schizo or something. I don't know what. Anyway, all I can do is communicate. I can't do what other people do out there when you hear what's taught. That's up to you. So now, the two in verses 4 and 5. Promise in verse 4, promise number 1, prosperity. Verse 5, promise number 2, great protection. For I myself, declares the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be a wall of fire around her, Jerusalem, and I will be the glory in her midst. This is in the remnant in Zechariah's day, who have come back under the decree of Cyrus the Great, and then repeated under the decree of Darius the Great, both of whom are believers in Jesus Christ, and not only believers, but mature believers in Christ. And they want the Jewish people to go back to Jerusalem. And they want them specifically to rebuild the temple where the living and true God, Jesus Christ, will reside. the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies. So verse 5, this is a personal promise from the Lord Jesus Christ that He and He alone will be Jerusalem's divine protector. The Lord will be a wall of fire around His people, protecting them from their enemies who try to hurt them. This is the greatest assurance and defense that any people could be given. And then moreover, the Lord Jesus Christ declared that He will be the glory in the midst of Jerusalem, the Shekinah glory, dwelling in the Holy of Holies of the temple that is rebuilt. So the glory that had departed will return to Jerusalem, and that's what we have here in verse 5. Now, in Zechariah 2, 6, and 7, we have promise number 3, and it's a mandate to all these Jews that are still in Babylon, in reversionism, in living in carnality and reversionism, to get up and get going. All right. The Lord calls His people that are still living in Babylon to come home. Come home to Jerusalem. So the King James says, ho, ho, ho. That's what the King James said. Now, as a pastor, you see that. Oh, brother, whoever. And you know, a lot of the translators of the King James were not even believers. Many of them were unbelievers. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. We have the interjection. It's not ho, it's hoy. And it's repeated. Hoy, hoy. The cal imperative of nous, plus the preposition min, prefix to the noun eris, plus the noun tsaphon, plus the cal passive participle of na'am, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton. Verse 6 begins with this interjection. Hoy, hoy. It's repeated. So it's H-O-Y, H-O-Y, hoy, hoy. And this interjection is onomatopoetic. It sounds like what it means. Hoy, hoy. It's an exclamation designed to arouse attention. So literally this says, attention, attention, move out, get going. So one, the Lord is calling all the Jews still living in Babylon, and there's lots of them still living in Babylon. The Lord is calling all the Jews still living in Babylon to wake up, attention. Two, it's time for you Jews to move out of Babylon. Time for you Jews to move out of Babylon. Three, this mandate is given to the Jews who are still in Babylon, but they should be in Jerusalem. They're still in Babylon, but they should be in Jerusalem, and there's lots of Jews still living in Babylon. They have no spirituality there. They aren't putting spiritual things first. They are in total carnality and reversionism. The verb nous N long U-S. Nous. The verb nous means to escape, to flee, to escape, to take flight, to depart. And the imperative mood, this is a command. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving them a command. And then the preposition men is the preposition of separation. And it means out from Babylon. And then Eretz. Aleph, E-R-E-T-S, Eretz. That's the word for the land. And this land is Tsafon. T-S-A-P-H, long O-N. Tsafon. And Tsafon is the north, the land of the north. And the land of the north is Babylon. And then we have the verb na'am, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton, which is also very powerful. So this says, na'am means to declare, and the tetragrammaton is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, attention! Attention! Move out! Flee from the land of the north. Babylon declares the Lord, declares the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a mandate to those Jews still living in Babylon. Get back to Jerusalem. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. That's the King James. We have the conjunction ki plus the comparative kaf, prefixed to the ordinal rava, plus ruach, plus Hashemayim, the plural of heavens. There's more than one heaven. Hashemayim, PL perfect of parash, plus eighth with the second person plural suffix, plus the kal passive participle of na'am, joined by, once again, a makef to the tetragrammaton. Well, the conjunction ki starts things off, and the conjunction ki is a causal conjunction, used that way many times. K-I, ki, means correctly translated because, and then the verb parash. Looks like that in Hebrew, P-R-A-S-H, parash. And a couple of things on this verb. First of all, parash literally means to spread out or to spread. That's literally. It's not used that way here. Two, figuratively, it means to scatter. And that's how it's used in our verse. Figuratively, to scatter. And three, this scattering is the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline on Israel. The administration of the fifth cycle of discipline on Israel. For in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans administered the fifth cycle of national discipline on the southern kingdom, Judah. But who was the one that brought them to administer it? The Lord Jesus Christ. Five, the Lord used evil one, Babylon, to destroy evil two, the southern kingdom, Judah, which was in apostasy and degeneracy. Now this is important to realize because we are a nation right now in apostasy and degeneracy. And there's no mention of us. There's no mention of us in the tribulation. There is no United States of America. We are not here. After the rapture, there is no mention of the United States of America. There's a king of the north, Russia. There's a kings of the east, communist China. There's a pan-Arab bloc, kings of the south. There's the revived Roman Empire, Europe, 10-nation confederacy, there is no mention of the United States at all. And we are in so much apostasy and degeneracy, it makes me sick every day. Get on that damn computer and go to Fox, and I start reading all these things, and it just makes me sick seeing what is happening to the United States of America. And God will bring evil one to destroy evil two. We're evil two. Who will evil one be? Well, it could be any of a number of nations. One thing I saw today for the first time, I saw an article of President Trump pissed off at Russia. About time he got pissed off at Russia. He'd been pissed off at Ukraine and pissed off at Zelensky. About time he got pissed off at Russia. Who started that war? Russia did. Not Ukraine. Russia did. Russia started it. Russia needs to stop it. You brought your troops in. Get your troops. Trump, I would say, Putin, you started this war. Now you get your troops out of the Ukraine now. Get back. Get this thing over. That's what he should be saying. And for the first time, he was pissed off at Russia. How tight. I've been pissed off at them for a long time. I even wanted, as I told you, I wanted to go to the Olympics just so I could beat the damn Russians. God says, no, you're going to Dallas Seminary. I said, yes, sir. So the Lord used evil one, Babylon, to destroy evil two, the southern kingdom, Judah, in apostasy and degeneracy. Six, the survivors were then taken on a death march to Babylon. Seven. Now the Lord Jesus Christ declares to his people in Babylon, now it's time to come home. Now it's time to come home. That's what he said. Attention, attention, move out. Flee from the land of the north, Babylon, declares the Lord, because I have scattered you. It was the Lord who administered the fifth cycle of national discipline. Now it's time for you to come home. So point eight, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will provide so that you can get up and move out of Babylon and move back to Jerusalem, back to Judah. So attention, attention, move out, flee from the land of the north, Babylon, declares the Lord, because I have scattered you. And then the comparative kaf means like or as, with the ordinal rava. Rava is the number four. And then we have the noun ruach. And you've heard that many times. You say, oh, with God the Holy Spirit. Well, sometimes it is. But not here. R-U-A-C-H. Ruach. Sometimes the ruach is used for the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, but it's not here. Other times it means breath or wind. Here it's wind. Means when. In the plural, which is what we have in our verse, and we have Rava, the number four. So these are the four winds. The four winds. Rava, Ruach. The four winds. And then we have Hashemayim, which is of heaven. And then the kal passive participle of Na'am, once again joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton. It's correctly translated, declares the Lord. So, corrected translation of verse 6. Attention, attention, move out. Flee from the land of the north, Babylon, declares the Lord. Because I have scattered you like the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. And then verse 7, continues on in verse 7. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. We have the interjection hoy repeated again, plus the proper noun tzion, plus the niphal imperative of malat, plus the collective participle of yashav, plus the noun bat, and bat is the Hebrew word for daughter. They had a sense of, the Jews had a sense of humor, see. Some of you don't, but the Jews did. The noun bat joined by a makef to Babel. Once again, the interjection hoy is an exclamation designed to arouse attention. Attention! Move out! Get going! And then we have Zion, and that's transliterated Zion. T-S-I-Y-Y-O-N. Zion. Zion. And that refers specifically to the Jews who are still living in Babylon. And then we have Malat. M-A-L-A-T. Malat. And, well, a couple of points on this. One, malat literally means to slip away. Literally, to slip away. It's not used that way here. Two, figuratively, it means to escape. To escape. Three, the imperative mood, this is a mandate. The Lord is giving the Jews in Babylon a mandate. You have no spiritual life there in Babylon. You're in apostasy. You're in degeneracy. All you have there is religion, religion, religion. And you're worshiping false gods. You need to come back to Jerusalem and worship the living and true God. Worship the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. Four, this is a mandate that says, get away from, escape from Babylon right now. Now. Get away from, escape from Babylon right now. Five, it says, get back to your home in Zion. Get back to your home in Zion. Six, the temple is being rebuilt. The temple is being rebuilt. Seven, get back to your spiritual priorities and worship the living and true God, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. Get back to your spiritual priorities and worship the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom is the Lord giving this mandate? Yoshevet Bat Babel. Yoshevet Bat Babel. You who are living with the daughter of Babylon. You who are living with the daughter of Babylon. So the corrected translation says, attention! Hoy! Get going, O Zion. Escape, you who are still living with the daughter of Babylon. Attention, get going, O Zion. Escape, you who are still living with the daughter of Babylon. So, verses 6 and 7. See, this is promise number 3. promise number 3, verse 6 and 7. Attention! Move out! Flee from the land of the north, Babylon, declares the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I have scattered you like the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. Attention! Get going, O Zion! Escape, you who are still living with the daughter of Zion. All right. One. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving the Jews still living in Babylon a mandate. Escape. Slip away. Move out of Babylon now. Move out of Babylon now. Two, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am a wall of fire around Jerusalem. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am a wall of fire around Jerusalem. Three, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will protect you. I will provide for your needs. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will protect you. I will provide for your needs. Four. The majority of the Jewish people had chosen to remain in Babylon. And as long as they are in Babylon, they are influenced by religion, false gods. They're in carnality and reversionism. Five. But now the Lord has made a way for them to come back to Jerusalem. Now the Lord has made a way for them to come back to Jerusalem. Six. Now they are given a mandate to return to Jerusalem and put the worship of the Lord first in their lives. Now they encourage to return to Jerusalem. Mandated. And put the worship of the Lord first in their lives. Seven. The prophecy also looks forward to a day when God will call Israel back to its land, the rescue of the remnant at the end of the tribulation. So God gave Zechariah four promises in this third vision. Promise number one, prosperity. That's verse 4. Promise number 2, protection. That's verse 5. Promise number 3, population. Get out of Babylon, get back into Jerusalem and Judah, verses 6 and 7. Now that brings us to promise number 4. There will be great punishment on the enemies of Israel. And there are many, many enemies of Israel as we speak. And they will be judged by the living and true God, Jesus Christ. They will be judged They are 100% wrong in what they are doing. 100% wrong. They have a plan. Iran's whole objective is to wipe out every Jew from the face of the earth. Destroy Israel, destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. Hezbollah was there, put in power by Iran to do that. And Damascus, the Bible tells us Damascus, there won't be any Damascus. Damascus is going to be absolutely, totally annihilated and destroyed. Hamas, evil to the core. So promise number 4, punishment. That's verses 8 and 9. Punishment on the nations who are the enemies of Israel. They will be punished. That's promise number 4, verses 8 and 9. And that's where we'll start next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that the absolute truth of your word will be more real to us than the air that we breathe. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.